Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, trucks, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, it's Final Inspection on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Here's Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and, of course, David Hobbs Honda. And you're probably wondering to yourself, Great Lakes Dragway, huh? Well, believe it or not, yes, they are actually running today. Great horsepower weather here at Great Lakes Dragway, they just tweeted out. Today we'll be featuring the Street Wars, the Midwest Snowmobile Drag Racing Series, which it's one of those things you have to see in person, and open test and tune. Gates and staging lanes are open right now, so come on down, put on a sweatshirt, maybe a t-shirt or two, but it's not bad outside. I guess the best thing you could say about this weather is it's not too windy, so it's not that chill to the bone weather. It's late October weather.
It's nice, and it looks like the sun's kind of going away but trying to fight its way back out, so yeah, great day for racing.
You bet. Racing and all sorts of stuff. Man, of course, baseball too, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking.
You might have heard.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about that. And in fact, joining me, it is Mitch Ross. I'm Steve Zocchi. Is Jeff Orlowski, is what they say, on assignment,
yeah.
You could say?
Yeah, he's on assignment.
Don't worry, he's not suspended or anything. He didn't do anything wrong. It's just he is taking a day off. But we will be hearing from Jeff and myself as we talk NASCAR later in this first hour. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, last night, of course, the big news is the Brewers. And we'll actually be doing like a pre-game show today, Mitch.
Yeah, of course. Tim and Billy will be in today as well at 2 o'clock. So we're going to get them set up too.
So we'll kind of do a little bit of a soft open for them.
Yeah.
Kind of get you guys, because I know everybody's excited about the Brewers. And how can't you be after last night's game? And I think this is a... for the casual baseball fan, last night was a good lesson to be learned. That, when it's August, July, you jump up on a 6-1 lead on the Orioles or the Royals or somebody, it's no big deal.
The Reds.
You just kind of cruise on in. But you know what? October baseball is not easy.
Yeah.
And the Brewers certainly learned that last night. But the big point of all this is that they were actually able to win. And I want to talk more about in the last half hour of the show, some observations I've made over the last couple of days and how there's a lot of people, I guess you can see, plainly see, I hate talking about the New York-Boston bias, but if you listen to some of the pregame shows,
yeah,
you can really tell what's going on.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, those,
yeah,
more so on the postgame shows.
Right.
You know, you watch the game on Fox Sports 1 last night.
And that's
right,
what
right
I'm
away,
talking
right,
about.
Right,
yep,
away, they go to the studio, and it's Alex Rodriguez, former Yankee, David Ortiz, who's kind of like their Charles Barkley, in
right,
my opinion, former Red Sox.
But they're not really – well, I want to expand on this point later, and then maybe, of course – I'm sure Tim and Baby Tal should be talking about this more. I was shocked at how I kind of put a Facebook post and a tweet out there that, hey, boys, it's not 2015 anymore. This is a new baseball out there, and
right,
we'll talk about more of that, more about that later in the show. So it should be a lot of fun. But Yeah, it is. Should be a fun show. We're gonna, as I mentioned before, we're gonna have Jeff Orlowski in talking NASCAR. Of course, Dover last week, exciting win for Chase Elliott, and some big changes on pit road in NASCAR. We'll be also be talking about that as they go to Talladega, and of course, Talladega is one of the favorites on the schedule for everybody. And we just got done with practice, only doing one practice session, and the quickest in practice was Well, it, once again, it's the Stewart Haas show again. It's Kevin Harvick was first, Amarola was second, Eric Amarola second, and the fourth was Clint Bowyer. And then Joey Logano with the Team Penske car snuck in at third, followed by Ricky Stenhouse, who you got to put in that A group when it comes to restrictor plate races. This is a kid, and Roush, at least, Fenway Racing, has certainly figured out restrictor plates, and when they're at Daytona or Talladega, Ricky Stenhouse is somebody you have to pay attention to. A little bit of a surprise with number 13 Ty Dillon in sixth, Austin Dillon, of course, your Daytona 500 winner, was seventh, and then Kurt Busch, the fourth Stewart Haas car, was eighth. So you had all four Stewart Haas racing cars in the top eight, and then Brad Keselowski, who's no slouch and actually has the lead for active drivers with wins at Talladega with five, and then you have Eric Jones sitting there in the tenth spot in of course Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. So should be an interesting race. A lot of things happening in the world of racing. Of course, we'll also be getting a report live from Road Atlanta from Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com in the second hour. So that should be a lot of fun. And of course, don't forget our racing news with Lori Monroe. Looking forward to that at the bottom of the hour. So let's go take a quick break here. And when we return, we'll be with, I'll be chatting with Jeff Orlowski and get the latest in the world of NASCAR on the Final Inspection Show. Show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and of course David Hobbs on Honda. And before we get to my segment with Jeff Orlowski here, I just wanted Dave Coleman of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just posted something which is really surprising. It doesn't really happen in this market too often, and you hear it, you hear my posts from my friends in other markets, whether it's Chicago, Indianapolis, Los Angeles, or whatever, but Dave Coleman wrote, not sure what's up with the local Fox affiliate here in Milwaukee, but the NASCAR truck race is not on. I can told it can be found on the digital alternative on 986 on Spectrum, and DirecTV only indicates a re-air tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. So I guess it's also available over the air though, if you have a digital antenna at 6.2, but certainly frustrating that the truck race will not be on the local Fox affiliate today. So just wanted to give you a heads up. It is available, though, digitally on your antenna if you have that set up. And it would be 6.2 because Fox 6 has, two or three channels, alternative channels on the digital antenna spectrum, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And then on Spectrum, if you have a Spectrum, it's on 986. So just want to give you a heads up on that, and let's talk some more NASCAR with Jeff Orlowski. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Road. And here with Jeff, the Polish pipe bomb, Orlowski.
What's happening, Steve?
And talking a little NASCAR, of course, the big news is, of course, the marriage.
It's over.
It's always sad when a marriage breaks up, isn't it?
It is. I did not shed a single tear on this one, but, surprising yet sort of not. I don't know.
And we're talking about Jimmy Johnson and
Chad Knaus.
Yes.
No mas.
No mas.
No mas. Chad Knaus will be the crew chief for William Byron now. And Jimmy Johnson gets a dude from the Xfinity series.
Interesting stuff. What's your opinion on that?
I'm kind of torn, okay? I understand.
Torn? What do you mean torn? How can you be torn?
I know. I'm kind of torn because, you know, for Jimmy to get a guy as young as this, how do you say his name? Meandering. You know, get this kid out of the Xfinity series when he's at the tail end of his career trying to win that eighth championship.
Meandering.
Okay. You know,
I guess
it's tough. And, you know, I want to say that I don't think that there was a lot more problems behind the scenes. We kind of, you know, felt a little bit of the tension sometimes between Jimmy and Chad when they would play their in-car audio and stuff like that. And you hear them kind of bickering back and forth.
But that's guys' things.
Oh, I know. I didn't think it was a big enough deal for them to make this change.
You've done that with your buddies if you're working on something.
Of course.
If you're doing anything. If you're redoing a house or something, you know, you're working in the rec room downstairs, there's always guys start barking at each other about stuff.
Well, me and my dad couldn't move a couch without yelling at each other. So, you know, and it could have been in the same room.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand it, but you know, I just, on one hand, I think it's weird that he's got to go into the twilight of his career with an Xfinity crew chief. But on the other hand, it's kind of the same thing I'm hoping with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy.
Mediocre Mike, which we spoke about in the Green and Gold podcast, which you can get. And how do you get to our Packers podcast, Jeff?
Green and Gold Then and Now. You go to the radio.com app under podcasts. You go under producers. And you will find the Green and Gold Then and Now, Steve Zocchi and myself talking the beloved Packers. It's awesome. Check it out.
We don't have a guest next week, or this week, I should say, but we'll should have a guest host next week. Looking forward to that. And as the season progresses, we're going to have some guests call in and come in for the podcast. So looking forward to that. And what's nice about the podcast, yes, we talk Packers, we talk current stuff, but then we also give you a little history, too. So, and try and bring in, like we spoke about the 49ers and the Packers, but also not only that, but they've also played on Monday Night Football previously, and we talk about some 49ers and Packer games of the past. So, should be a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it. But getting back to Jimmy Johnson, why should he have the same crew chief? Did Jeff Gordon?
No.
Did Richard Petty?
No.
Dale Earnhardt?
No.
All right. Because, I mean, you look at in the past, Petty and Dale Inman. You look at Dale Earnhardt. Of course, it was Larry McReynolds. But it was also
Kirk Shelmerdine.
Kirk Shelmerdine. And you look at Jeff Gordon. Of course, it was Ray Evraham, mm-hmm. but it was also Steve Letarte.
Right.
So, I mean, there's been other it's a part of the gig, and Jimmy knows that. And I think it was time for a change. And, I'm looking, Dave Coleman of the Milwaukee Journal posted it earlier in the week when this broke. And it's interesting. There's actually, you know, you look at comments
mm-hmm.
in Facebook or on a webpage. And you usually do it for comic relief.
Right.
But actually, credit to Dave Coleman and his readers and that, there's actually some pretty interesting points that are being made. And one of them is Bill Holland, who I know from up north. He's a media guy. And he goes, driver and crew chief thing never lasts forever. And he mentioned the Petty Inman thing, Waltrip and Hammond, Jeff Hammond. That's a good one, too.
Right.
And Everham and Gordon were great combos for years, but it always comes to an end, and it does. And maybe this is kind of what Jimmy needs. He needs something different. He, you know, Chad Knauss, brilliant guy. And unfortunately, for those who know him, I mean, he's from the Rockford area. His dad raced late models in ASA for years. I saw his dad race at the Milwaukee Mile in a couple of ASA races in the number 98, John Knauss. But anyways, getting back to Chad, I mean, this is a guy, he's an innovator. And he's able to do so many things, but as the years go on and on and on, he's been being put in this box by NASCAR where he can do less and less and less and less.
Right.
And maybe maybe this is a kind of a change of pace, just a new set of eyes and ears and voice on the headset. Who knows? But I think Jimmy will be excited to do this.
So you think this is a move that's going to light a fire under Jimmy Johnson's tuchus?
Who knows? But what's the point? We were talking about this earlier. What's the point you brought in about Emberding?
Well, just that, you know, he's going to go into the twilight of his career with this young guy out of the Xfinity series, and how, you know, they couldn't find a proven
he could be
cup
like
level.
Sean McVay. You know, you don't know.
Right, and that you're 100% right.
Yeah, you know, it could be the kid that, you know, boy, once he went with Jimmy Johnson, that's when his career took off. And, you know, they didn't win a championship, but Jimmy was the most competitive he was in years. And then he went with, you know, Chase Elliott or whoever the next big Hendrick driver that comes in, hopefully maybe Larson. Well, who knows what, you know, 20 years from now, we'll be saying, boy, remember when he came on, you know, when he really came to prominence with Jimmy Johnson in 2019. Who knows? It could be. It might be an absolute failure. We don't know. But at this point, Jimmy Johnson, for Rick Hendrick, there's too much money being put in that car for them to finish, you know, 13th, 14th, 15th in points, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a big hole there, too.
Well, of
course. With Lowe's leaving.
Of course.
And those holes ain't being filled anymore.
How many years do you expect Jimmy Johnson to still run in Cup?
It depends how this works out.
Okay, so let's call
it.
Let's call it 3 years.
He could be gone in a year. He could race another five. But I bet you it's somewhere in between.
Let's call it three. Over the next 3 years, will Jimmy Johnson be more successful with meandering? Or will Chad Knaus be more successful with William Byron?
That's an excellent question, Jeff Orlowski.
I'm taking Byron. I think Byron and Chad.
You should. Because an experienced crew chief with the young driver is the way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when there was people that were like, I cannot believe Rick Hendrick brought in Jeff Gordon, and they're putting him with this Ray Evernham.
Right.
That was ludicrous, not the rapper. It was, and because this is a kid, you know, they need somebody experienced. They should have brought in Suitcase Jake Elder or somebody, you know, somebody like that, an experienced guy to teach him the ropes. No, it was like Jimmy Johnson, you know, and Troy Aikman. I mean, it was going into the NFL. I mean, it was they hit the ground running and off they went, you know. So I tend to agree with you. And unfortunately, the odds are against Jimmy Johnson. But let's see what happens. Hendrick has a good track record for bringing up young guys, smart guys on their crew side net. And, you know, they have a good farm system. It'll be interesting to see. I think it's good for both.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. You're probably right. It kind of, like I said, it kind of caught me by surprise. But then again, you know, for years we hear them kind of picking at each other over the radio. So,
well, yeah, but
you know, we'll see what happens.
That was a relationship, though.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean,
look at what we have with Rodgers and McCarthy or any foot. How many times have we seen guys yell at each other on the sidelines? Then they get back to the, you know, locker rooms and then the press talks about it. And, oh, we were going, hell yeah, that's right. They had already forgotten about it. They're thinking about, oh, yeah, we did kind of get after it. But guys do that. They bark.
Right.
You know.
Well, Jimmy Butler had the same thing this week in T-Wolves practice.
Yeah.
Where he went off on everybody.
So, I mean, guys, most guys yell at each other and it's over with.
Right.
Usually they don't carry grudges.
I hear you.
Women, on the other hand, like to carry grudges.
Yeah, for years. For decades.
I had two aunts that didn't talk to each other for 20 years. And it got so bad, I don't even think they remembered why they weren't even talking to each other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you hear that in families.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, those two. We can't invite those two because they don't, you know. And there's all sorts of silliness in this world like that. But when guys are barking at each other, especially in a high, intense arenas such as motorsports, football, basketball, you name it. I mean, that's, you got to blow off some steam.
I hear you.
I'd rather have a guy get in my face, say, this is what we need to do. This is blah, 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 and know where I'm standing than some guy going behind my back saying, well, yeah, you know, yeah, whisper, here, you know.
I'm the exact same way. Right. Tell it to my face or don't say it at all.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree.
But history says, yes, I think you're going to be right. I think Jack Canales, it's going to work out better for him and Byron and that 24. The only thing going against them is at number five, because it is a five car.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the curse lives on.
But, no, I mean, history says, yeah, they should have more success just because, unfortunately, and we've seen it with other drivers.
Well, and like we've
when
said.
When you get old, you know, I'm sorry, you know, yeah, these guys look great and everything, but Jimmy is, what, 41, 42 now?
Sure.
You know, so, and he got a later start. He's not like these kids that are hitting the Cup Series at 22, 23 years old. He was a little bit longer in the tooth.
And like we've said multiple times on this show, you cannot deny the talent of William Byron. That kid has been successful in every single thing that he has driven.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? The Cup Series is still hard.
Of course.
I mean, we've seen this. People are like, oh, he's a little struggling. Well, the Hendrick team as a whole has been struggling.
Chevy as a whole.
And Chevy, too. So, I mean, the kid has a lot. He has two strikes kind of against him. Number one, he's not in a Ford. And number two, he's not in a Toyota. And this is a down year for Chevy. It happens.
Yep, I agree.
So, all right, let's go take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more NASCAR and get news and all everything that's going on in the world of motorsports on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda.
This is One Lap Down for the week of October the 8th. I'm Lori Monroe, and here's what's making news right now. It's been a merry-go-round week of NASCAR driver news, kicking off with the announcement that Casey Kane is done. Unfortunately, the 38-year-old from Enumclaw, Washington, has not been medically cleared to continue racing closed cockpit stock cars due to overheating concerns, and will not be able to finish the season with Levine Family Racing. His doctors have not been able to find out what the cause of his condition is. However, he's been given the green light to compete in sprint cars because of the shorter races and cooler open cockpits. Casey Kane was the Cup Series Rookie of the Year in 2004 and has won 18 races over his career. And just like that, in an announcement from Levine Family Racing, four-year Cup veteran Matt DiBenedetto has been named the new driver of the number 95 Toyota Camry in 2019. And yes, a new driver and a new manufacturer and a business alignment with Joe Gibbs Racing. It should be an exciting year for everyone, I'm sure. And if that wasn't enough, there was an announcement last Wednesday, seemingly out of the blue, that Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson will part company and work with a new crew chief and new driver next year. Knaus will become crew chief for William Byron and the 24 Chevy Camaro, and Byron's current crew chief, Darian Grubb, will be promoted to a technical director at HMS. And Jimmy Johnson's new crew chief will be Jeff Mendering, who will be coming over from the retiring Elliott Sadler's team at Junior Motorsports. Rick Hendrick was quoted as saying, "We believe these decisions will provide us with a tremendous opportunity for success in the future." In Can-Am Pro Series East News, 17-year-old Tyler Ankrum from San Bernardino, California, was officially crowned the 2018 NASCAR Pro Series East champion after last Saturday's Crosley 125 at Dover. Ankrum earned four wins, nine top fives, and finished inside the top 10 in all but two races this year. He clinched the title at New Hampshire the week prior and finished 11th in the Dover event, earning him an 84-point lead over runner-up Tyler Dippel. As for the K&N West division, they're back on track this Saturday night at All-American Speedway in Roseville, California, with Derek Thorne the points leader and just two races away from earning his second career championship. The Whelen Modified Tour has just one race left on their schedule, the Sunoco World Series 150 at Thompson Speedway. Their 2018 champion, Justin Bonsignor, was already crowned on September the 30th at Stafford, and after announcing he'll be competing full-time in the Monster Energy Cup Series for JTG Doherty Racing in 2019, Ryan Preece will return to his modified roots and compete in the Whelen season finale at Thompson. In Innovators vs. NASCAR this week, there were no technical penalties after Dover, just a suspension of an engineer for Timmy Hill's number 66 team due to NASCAR's substance abuse policy. Daniel Darnstadt was given an indefinite suspension from NASCAR. And for the NASCAR schedule this week, the Xfinity Series is off until the October 20th race at Kansas, but it's the big Talladega weekend and the Camping World Truck Series makes its return after a three-week hiatus for the Freight Auctions 250. Kevin Harvick returns to the Fox Sports booth Saturday as a race analyst, calling the action alongside Vince Welch and Michael Waltrip. They'll throw the green flag at 1:10 Eastern on Saturday, and you can watch it live on Fox. In the Monster Energy Cup Series, race number 5 of 10 in the playoffs will take the green flag at roughly 2:20 p.m. Eastern on Sunday for the running of the 1000bulbs.com 500, and you can watch it live on NBCSN. This week's weather brought to you by RaceWeather.net. It looks like a great weekend on tap for Talladega Super Speedway. Saturday's truck race will see mostly sunny skies with a high of 74 degrees, and Sunday's cup race, again, great weather, partly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. In birthdays this week, happy birthday goes out to Bill Elliott, Daryl Bubba Wallace, Darian Grubb, Dale Earnhardt Jr., David Starr, Ned Jarrett, Morgan Shepherd, Tim Sauter, and Jason Jarrett. And if you're celebrating a birthday this week, I hope you got lots of presents. In social media madness, Parker Kligerman posted on Instagram that he's got a TV show coming out soon, and he can't say much about it yet other than to watch for announcements. Still with Instagram, Matt Tift posted a picture of his 2-year-old pooch, Sophie, wishing her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sophie. And then there's Michael Waltrip on Instagram. He posted a video of himself with Phil Parsons and Phil's dog, Jimmy Choo. Michael was trying to ask the dog a knock-knock joke, and well, it just got pretty loud from there. But this is the best one. IndyCar driver Will Power was at a television station helping promote the 2019 Detroit Grand Prix. Well, he tweeted an apology to the TV station, WXYZ Detroit, for walking out in front of the green screen by mistake during a traffic report, bewildered. He just wanders out during the report of a vehicle on fire near I-75. Lost, says, hello. That's all for One Lap Down with Lori Monroe. Enjoy the racing this weekend, whatever racing you enjoy the most.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And thank you, Lori Monroe. Appreciate all that information. And every week she brings it, and we certainly appreciate all that from the world of motorsports. And this weekend, it's the 1000bulbs.com 500. Never heard of 1000 Bulbs, but they are sponsoring a race. And, well, Mitch, you know, NASCAR likes to turn away from stereotypes and whatnot as we get into the, as we closing in on the 20s. And that's why, well, actually, I lied. Apparently, NASCAR loves stereotypes, because this announcement was made at the track yesterday.
Oh, boy.
NASCAR and Talladega Super Speedway enter a new partnership with Sugarlands. Sugarlands Shine has become the official moonshine of NASCAR. In a 5-year deal, 2019 NASCAR Gander Mountain Outdoors Truck Series race at Talladega will be the Sugarlands Shine 250. The award-winning moonshine distillery Sugarlands Distilling Company has entered the sport by signing an agreement with both the sanctioning body and one of its most iconic tracks on the circuit, the Talladega Super Speedway. The new partnership designates Sugarlands Shine as the official moonshine of NASCAR.
Nothing says Talladega like a little moonshine, Steve.
I mean, wow. You know, there was a time where distilled alcohol drinks weren't allowed to be a sponsor in the world of NASCAR.
Well, and look how far we've come. And very progressive league.
In fact, about 10, 12 years ago, I want to say there is a front line. I forget even what team had this, had a very lucrative sponsorship in place. And NASCAR said, no, we don't do, because back then, or not back then, but I mean, it goes back to the roots of I guess a lot of Bill France and the family. I guess we're not fans of distilled spirits, as they say, and like to this day, the Petties don't have any beer sponsorships anywhere in their car. In fact, they were never, the 43 car was never eligible for the Busch Clash at Daytona in the spring if they got a pole position because they never carried the Busch sticker on their cars.
Well, aren't there dry counties in a lot of these, you know,
funny that
NASCAR
you say
heavy
that.
Population fans and.
I have a story for you.
Oh boy.
This is a funny story. So little Stevie's about 10, 11 years old. We're going to Florida on a family vacation. And,
Sebring?
No, it was Disney World. Okay. It was a normal family vacation in the late 70s. And we get in the family truckster. We go down and we stayed, I think, you know, like the first night was in Nashville maybe. And then the second night we, you know, couldn't make it. You know, the kids were getting cranky. Mom was getting cranky. Everybody's getting cranky. So, you know. And the longest part of the drive when you go to Florida is just once you get into Florida because you're thinking, oh, we're here to Florida, but yep. It's another 2-3 hours.
Yeah, it's like driving through Ohio. Where
yeah,
it's, you
exactly.
know, you're in Ohio, but you're 14 hours away from being in Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you probably cross. Once you get to Disney, you got a long – I mean, that's true, Florida. I mean, if you go to Orlando, you're like, oh, okay, let's go check out a Dolphins game. Oh, no, that's 6 more hours.
So we get in the – look at this, a nice Holiday Inn right off the highway. Pull in, be nice little clean, nice hotel. You sit down in the old restaurant. The old Pops is going to get me a nice bourbon and sweet. Mm-hmm. Hi, y'all. Welcome to the Holiday Inn restaurant. And what can we get for you? My dad goes, well, I'd like a bourbon. No, you can't get that here. Then whiskey's fine. You know, no, we're dry. We're dry here. He's like, yeah, I'm dry here too. Ooh, let's go get a.
Yeah.
Now, how about a beer?
Kitty cocktail.
Oh, you know what I mean? Okay, how about just like a Miller? You got a Miller or Blatz or Schlitz, whatever, you know? No.
How about
no,
O'Doul's? Even an O'Doul's.
Sharps. We're dry. And thus, my dad learned what a dry county was.
Yep.
And. To his dying day, whenever my dad went somewhere, there was a fifth of alcohol with him at all times.
There you go.
So on that note, yeah. So we have Moonshine as a sponsor in NASCAR once again. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll have a sports flash at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure to check out Great Lakes Dragway, especially as the weather is getting a little colder out there, but still going to have some weekends open at Great Lakes Dragway before the snow flies. And also David Hobbs Honda, make sure, if you can't get out to Great Lakes Dragway, make sure to get out to David Hobbs Honda for your new Honda or used car. Doesn't have to necessarily be a Honda either. They got a great selection of used cars at davidhobbs.com. And joining me once again, it is the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski in Dover. You know what? I hate to say this, but this is one of those races. I watched the first 10 laps and the last 10. That's pretty much all you needed, wasn't it?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, Kevin Harvick absolutely dominated the first two stages, and then had the hiccup with losing the valve stem, so his tire went down.
Frustrating weekend. I mean, Stuart Haas was showing speed, but it just didn't show in the results, really, did it?
Well, no, the weekend was the race was a complete disaster for Stuart Haas. You had Harvick, like I said, dominated the first two stages, had problems on pit road where the valve stem got taken off, caused him to have a flat tire. Put him way back in the field, actually put him a lap down. He ended up getting his lap back and having a good finish. So then once the bad things happened to Harvick,
And you had Clint Bowyer and Eric Amarola that had really good hot rods, and it was Amarola's race to win.
It didn't. I mean, when
he had a huge lead,
right?
And you know, the only thing that could happen, was a string of cautions,
right?
And not only did the caution come out, it was his own damn teammate with Clint Bowyer slamming the wall.
And that was quite the hit.
Yeah, it was. That was a hard hit.
That was a perfect example of, as I was talking about last week, if you're going to hit one wall, you're going to hit the other wall too.
Yep.
Because he had no brakes, and he just, boop, ran to the inside wall.
Yeah. So then, you know, now Clint's done for the day. You get Amarola, and so... Restart.
Amarola, yeah. Okay, so he's
restart happens, and then he gets caught.
What did he start about 7th, 8th, 9th?
Yeah, you know, maybe fifth to eighth somewhere.
You see
in
the
there.
Restart, you go, okay, here he comes.
Yep.
Okay,
here he comes.
Here we go.
There
I want to see this 10 car because you know he's hungry.
Oh yeah.
You know he wants that win.
Had the car to beat at the time,
right? And you're thinking, you know, the guy's really PO'd right now because of what's happened. So now he's, you know. He's going to have the bit in his teeth. He's going to be coming.
Oh, yeah.
And there he goes. On the outside, you're thinking, oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
Boom.
Oh!
Yeah, into the wall, gets taken out.
And high, white, and handsome coming out of two. And
yeah.
That's a little too high, white, and handsome, wasn't
it? Smush.
He?
Yeah. And, yeah, there took goes up, his day.
Took out Brad Keselowski, too.
Yeah, yeah, took out a bunch
and
of good cars.
And you know
cars.
What? I thought that was going to be 15 cars.
I did, too.
I mean, people, you know, you got the old-timers, oh, spotters, this and that. But I tell you what, you know where spotters really – I mean, spotters save money.
Yeah.
Because you know where they save money is when there's a wreck and those guys steer through. I know I'm a broken record. I talk about YouTube and that. Go take a look at some old NASCAR races from the 50s, 60s, 70s, even into some of the 80s, where you'll see a guy spin coming off the wall, and here comes another car, full bore, bam, right into him.
Well, the wreck that broke Amarola's back.
Yeah.
You know, who was that? Was that Bubba Wallace?
I think so. Well, that
but
was
he
yeah.
comes around,
right.
And it was so far after the Amarola
well,
got into the wall.
Fluid on the track, though. He couldn't go.
Right,
yeah,
I know. I know, but it seemed like
you
one of those old-school accidents.
Exactly. You were shocked because you don't really see that too often
anymore.
A
minute after the wreck, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets just freight-trained, you know, from the rear and just, you know, slammed, and it ends up breaking his back. So,
yeah,
spotters do save money. But just a freaking awful day for Stuart Haas, and it all worked out great for Chase Elliott. And, you know, it's funny that Chase Elliott, he was in contention to win, what, both Michigan races last year, got beat on late restarts both times, and now this year at Dover, he was the man on the late restart, and now he's in victory lane and punches his ticket, doesn't have to worry about Talladega. It could be all just pina coladas and hot Alabama chicks because he's through to the next round.
And, you know, he looked very, very good on that last restart.
He did.
I mean, he was able to pull away from Denny Hamlin, and it was impressive. You're thinking Toyota power, and you know, Chevy, you know, like I said, we were talking about in the earlier segment, Chevy power is not the, you know, really the package to have this year. But, you know, I mean, he pulled away from, as I call them, the two punks, Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano. Logano, there's another one, and a Ford. So he fought off a Ford and a Toyota to win. And, it was very, very impressive. You talk about Stuart Haas. Well, they ended up with Kurt Busch in fifth, and then Kevin Harvick did end up sixth. And somehow, in Amarola, he still ended up 13th. You know, not certainly it doesn't really help, but you were thinking, you know, well, that happens. He's going to end up in the 30th place or something, but.
Right, but he went from a guaranteed spot, an easy street, moving on in the playoffs to he's below the cut line.
You know, just a frustrating day. Jimmy Johnson, too.
He didn't even start the damn race.
Yeah, that's where I think, you know, break up the team. You know, this, we needed something. You know,
yeah, that, you
that,
know.
That was just, And I you know, you wonder if Jimmy had a meeting with Mr. Hendrick, as everybody calls him, and said, you know, we need to do something here. And like I said, it's nothing against Chad Knauss. It's just sometimes you just need a change.
Or maybe it was vice versa, and maybe it was Chad that had the meeting.
Mediocre Mike.
Yeah, he got to go.
We were all excited this season, bringing back Philbin and everything, and it's going to look new. It's going to look, no, it's the same old, same old.
Same old crap.
I tell you what, Packer fans, when we go out to L.A., you're going to see an offense. You're going to see the offense of 2018, 19, and 20 when you go. You're going to be shocked at what you saw. And the other, but here's what Packer fans, this is just we're giving you a green and gold then and now podcast little snippet here, but because I'm all fired up now because we brought up Mediocre Mike. But what we are looking for as Packer fans is what we're seeing in Kansas City.
Yep.
Andy Reid, 56-inch waist and all, has come out. I mean, it helps having Patrick Mahomes, but you want to talk about, If I tell you what, Rams, you can have the Rams and the Chiefs on Sunday night and Monday night the rest of the year. I'll watch those two teams.
I will,
too. They are fun to watch.
Yeah, I will, too.
So, you know, come if you're not, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's still a young season, but how many years do we have to put up with a slow start and a first and second quarter in second gear? When you see the Rams in a couple weeks, you're going to really see the difference. And, you know, that's when the heat is going to be on.
Well, the heat's already started.
It is.
People are starting to come around.
It's simmering right now. It's on simmer. But if they lay an egg in L.A. and you see, you know, Sean McVay with his 28-inch waist and, you know, all bouncing around, Mr. I mean, it visually, it's not going to look good for Mike.
I know. I hear you. So. Other news, Matt DiBenedetto.
Good news.
Yeah.
This is a kid, you know, we joke about his name. We made, you know, well, okay, you know, he's a kid in the worst car. But you know what? Hey, he's still in the Cup Series, though, right?
Yes, sir.
He's a young kid, and he walked away from his ride. He said, I want to be a free agent next year.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, guess what? He upgraded himself, didn't he? Where is Matt going to be next year?
Well, he's going to be at Levine Racing, taking over Casey Kane, car.
That's an upgrade.
Slightly.
I mean, well, I said last year when Kane, everybody was kind of snickering. I said, well, you know, this is a way for Kane. This is a way for Hendrick to bring up the kids. And the rumor is that Hendrick was still paying his salary this year.
Okay.
And it made sense for Levine. And Hendrick gave him some help, too. So you're thinking, and they had been getting better. They were, from where they were, of the independent teams, they would show glimpses, especially like at the plate races, Talladega and Daytona. They would run pretty good, you know, and we were looking for, I wasn't looking for Casey Kane to make the chase, but I was looking for glimpses. Look who finished sixth, or look who finished 10th. A couple of times during the year where you go, wow, hey, this car looks good. Maybe at a road course, maybe Watkins Glen or Talladega. He's mixing it up with the front pack or something.
Right.
That didn't really work out. Well, now we found out why he's falling out of the seat, but Matt DiBenedetto, great kid. Read up on him on the internet. It's a great story, and you know it's one of the feel good NASCAR stories about a kid who's just worked his tail off to get to where he's at.
It is a good story, and
so
he's easy.
I'm really happy for him. Yeah, I am. I'm really happy for him. You know, we make fun of his name and
DiBurrito
and all that, but no, he's a good kid.
He is, and
we should,
you know,
try and get him on the show.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously our thoughts are out with, you know, go out to Casey Kane, and he's not going to be medically cleared for the rest of the season,
but
so
you know
basically
what?
His NASCAR career
is
over.
He's going to have so much more fun running sprint car races.
You know, of course, and the good thing, though, is that he wanted to retire at the end of the year. You know, besides the medical stuff, I don't think Casey Kane was looking forward to finishing the rest of the year as it is. This is probably the best thing for him. You take the medical issues out of it.
And I want to talk about it. We don't, you know, we kind of ignore the Xfinity series and all that, but Christopher Bell, once again.
The kid is amazing, man. Yeah. Him and William Byron are the two young guys that have all the talent in
the
world.
I'll take Christopher Bell over Byron.
Nope, not me.
And Justin Allgaier, too, though. You got to give a tip of the hat to him for where that team's been and everything and where his career has been. He's been looking very, very strong. And pretty much any other year, you probably would have walked away with the championship.
Yeah.
However, Christopher Bell, and you got Toyota, you know, behind him.
I would like to see some, like, head-to-head races. Like, if you could sit there and do, like, you know, 50 laps at Bristol, head-to-head, Byron and Bell.
And then 50 laps, or then 30 laps at Terre Haute.
Something like that, absolutely.
And then 25 laps at Winchester.
And three blocks on a hover round. You know, I would love that. You know, and sit there and do these head-to-head races, and then it would be cool. It would be cool.
Yeah. Thing is, where is Christopher Bell going to be next year? That'll be interesting. I say you got to put him in a cup car, right? Or is it going to be one of these? It could be one of these, too, where he just runs half a season. I don't know.
That half season is stupid because, you know, you take yourself out of any chance of winning a championship in either. So I think he either has to go cup or he's got to go one more go around in Xfinity. I think he should go one more round in Xfinity. But if I was Christopher Bell, I would be beating down every door telling me to get me to cup now.
My prediction in July or whatever was that he was going to be in the 77 car in Furniture Row. That ain't going to happen.
No, that ain't going to happen.
It seemed like a good idea in July.
Well, you know, it.
How about that, race fans?
See, mark that down. Hey, Steve was wrong once.
Another kid who's been just kind of struggling a bit, I want to mention, who looked really good, but I when he's going to disappear after this year, but he gets a few more chances.
Yeah, same thing. Easy to root for. Like that kid a lot as well. So,
yep.
Good luck to him.
All right, we'll be back more on the Final Inspection Show brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda.
Ladies and gents.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.